1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
But I'm talking about coming up with an idea for a column every day.
Well, Phil, it really is difficult. I'll give an example. I want to write a column about women who are threatened by other women, who are good dancers, you know, and who are attractive. In other words, who are very outgoing.
Okay, were you... Now, this is an article that you want to write?
Yes, because this past weekend, Frank and I were...
And by the way, we're on the air now, Margaret. This is the Phil Hendry Show. I'm with Margaret Gray, who is a nationally syndicated newspaper columnist. So you want to write a column about women who are threatened by other women who are good dancers?
Well, no, not necessarily who are threatened by... But women who are outgoing, I think, are threatening to women who are a little bit more introverted. And I love to dance, and I enjoy the company of men. I'm very loyal to my husband, but I like being around men as opposed to women. I think they're a little more direct. I think they're a little more honest. And we were at a party on Saturday night over at Roy Lochner's. It was a press award after party, the one that they had at the Staples Center. Now, I've known Sandy Cummins for 20 years as a reporter, and in a room full of some of my best friends and colleagues, and I mean Diane Sawyer was there, Ann Martin was there, Bobby Batista, Greta Van Susteren came later with her husband. In front of all of them, she called me a very filthy name. And I was called the C word, I was called an MFC word, and everyone heard it. I was absolutely mortified and close to tears.
How does this, good God, this woman, does she's a friend? Well, first of all...
Yes, absolutely a friend.
Well, first of all, what has this got to do with a woman who is, was this something, was she angry at you, obviously, for something, right?
She's a professional acquaintance, and I think the mistake I've made is led her to believe that she's a friend, and maybe that's my fault, but I'm going to recommend, or at least I was going to recommend, that she be terminated from the paper. What had happened was that there was a band on the lanai at Roy's home.
Now, let me just, you... This woman called you a C word.
Yes.
All right. Does this have something to do with the fact that you're very outgoing?
Let me tell you the story, all right? Because women are very, very jealous of other women that are outgoing. I love to dance. And it's really funny how a lot of us are punished because we happen to be good dancers. We may be attractive. Other women will punish us for this. And I'm a very good dancer. And Sandy's husband, Jeff...
Now, Sandy's the one that called you a C word and an MF.
Yes. And forgive me, Phil, for bringing this up.
That's all right. Go ahead.
So Sandy's husband, Jeff, was telling jokes. We're having a good time. And Sandy, she's not been well. She had several surgeries. She had a hysterectomy last summer. So it's been a strain on Jeff. And you can see that it has been. So I said to him, let's dance. And they were playing that song. And you know the song? Might as well face it, you're addicted to love. Oh, you know. Now, that's the Robert Plant song. And that is my song. When I hear that song, I love to dance. And it's a signature move. When he sings the song, I think the song, the your lights are on, doo-doo, but you're not home, dee-dee-dee. What I do is I move his leg between mine. I wrap my arms around his neck. And I slide up and down on the thigh and the leg. Now,
all right, now that's what we call dirty dancing, right?
Phil, this is a married man.
Well, I know he's a married man, but his wife is there, and you're sliding up and down on his leg?
No, just listen to me. This is called dirty dancing. It's very accepted. All real women who love to dance do this move. And then you turn your back to him. And you bend over at the waist, and you put his hands on your hips, and you bounce against his pelvis. This is called dirty dancing. It is adult in nature. It is very, very innocent. There's nothing improper about it. Then someone yelled, get a room, and that kind of heated things up, and we were having some fun. And the signature move is, your lights are on, but you're not home. Boo-boo, boo-boo. And then the leg goes between my legs. And
but you recognize that for a married woman, for this man's wife to be witnessing this, would be shocking.
Phil, she has had a lot of surgery. She has had a hysterectomy. It's obviously been a lot of strain on him. We were trying to loosen things up.
No, I know the strain that was on him, but her, Mrs. Cummins.
Well, the strain that was on her, Phil, she came up to me. She calls me an MF. She uses the C word. And Phil, understand that this is it's full earshot of everyone in the room. This woman is a classic example of a woman who's having some surgeries. She had a hysterectomy. She's angry because I'm still vibrant. She is.
All right. Okay, I got to give our number out here, Margaret, if you don't mind.
All right, but please understand that I love my husband. There's nothing going on.
No, I know there isn't anything going on, but when you're doing this kind of dancing... All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. I'm talking with Margaret Gray, always good to have her on the program. She writes a nationally syndicated column for the Foister Syndicate called A Little Bird Told Me. She wants to write a column about women who are threatened by other women who are good dancers. But really, that you're talking about women who just are threatened by outgoing women.
Women who are threatened by outgoing women who go to the point where this woman called me a C and an MF.
And you don't see anything wrong with doing this sort of dirty dancing with her husband.
Here's what I'm trying to say. To the uninitiated, to people who are really not out much and who really don't do a lot of dancing, yes, I suppose it looks filthy. The facts are these. I am an experienced club dancer. I go out at least once a week. And this is going on in all the clubs. We were having a lot of fun.
All right, now there was a jump move or something where you land on his shoulders face forward. Is that right?
Phil, first of all, I want to make a statement here.
But didn't you jump up onto his shoulders?
Yes.
And you're face forward?
Yes.
Okay, so that puts a very private part of your body right smack into his face, doesn't it?
You know, you really are hell-bent on making this filthy, aren't you? You are.
No, I'm just asking because this is the woman's husband that you're dancing with.
Yes.
And the dancing you're doing, you're straddling his leg, you're simulating sex from behind.
I am a mother and a wife, and for you to say that, men like me. They like to dance with me. They find me uninhibited. And a lot of women who are a little bit wallflowery, who really don't like to go out on the dance floor, they resent that. And for a woman who hasn't really been a wife to her husband in 3 or 4 years, this Sandy Cummings has a lot of nerve calling me what she called me. And as a dancer, that move, and then I jump on his shoulders. It's a classic ballroom move.
All right. I mean, look, if this lady is feeling insecure, let's just say that she's feeling insecure.
All right.
Don't you think that it would be a nice friend who would, like, not do anything to make her feel a little strange?
No, it's a good friend that tries to get her out of the dance floor. Come on, Sandy, come on out. But I knew she wouldn't, so what I was trying to do was be a friend to her husband. I had tried with her, but she's had surgeries, she's had the hysterectomy, which I understand has changed her hormones. So my understanding is she's not...
You don't have to whisper. I mean, we're on a radio show.
I understand, Phil, but it is by instinct. She's not being a wife to him, and I think you know what I mean. Does Mark have the music?
Do you have it, Mark? Yeah, he does.
I wanted to just play the one... This is a very classic move, and what it is the song Addicted to Love by Robert Palmer.
Yes, who passed on last week.
Yes.
I don't think we need to hear the song, though.
But if you listen to this, you'll know. You see, this is a very sexy beat. So what I do is I start swinging back and forth. All right. And you can see two people who are dancing to this song. Dee-dee-dee-da-da-da. Okay, right here. Okay, and then my legs spread. His leg comes between mine. And there's a gliding motion. All right, you can have him...
Turn it off. Okay, and how would any wife see her husband doing that with you and feel good?
The reason why she doesn't feel good is she doesn't understand contemporary dancing. Look, Jeff Cummings has had such a hard time with all of Sandy's surgeries. I gave the man a great time. I made him feel like a man should, even if it was only for a dance.
Isn't that his wife's job?
Yes, it is, Phil. But I think for a few fleeting moments, he had a woman doing some exciting things. Exciting things. Things that perhaps he'd stop dreaming about.
All right. Can you hang on, Margaret?
Well, you know, I hear the judgment in your voice, Phil. And
no, I'm not judging. I just want you to understand, and maybe I'm not understanding you.
I really think that's the case.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. If you've had surgeries, if you've had a hysterectomy, and you haven't really been a woman to your husband, do you mind if your husband does a little, quote, dirty dancing with another woman? Margaret Gray was at a party on Saturday night. She was straddling some guy's leg, et cetera, et cetera. And apparently the wife called her a C, called her an MF. Margaret said she thought she works with her, and she thought maybe she'd have to fire her for her outbreak, or for her outburst, if you will. Number 1-800-449-8686. The column she's going to write is how some women are just flat jealous of other women's ability to be interesting to men. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, FUBAR. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Margaret Gray is with us, a syndicated newspaper columnist. At a party the other night, you're dancing with this gal's husband, and you're doing some suggestive moves to the Robert Palmer song, Addicted to Love, correct?
That is correct, yes.
All right. Now, you said you're not going to fire Sandy Cummings. She called you a C, she called you an MF, she called... In other words, she was vulgar in front of a lot of friends.
At Phil, Diane Sawyer, Christian Amanpour, Ann Martin, some of the top female journalists in the business were there, and I'm standing there absolutely dumbfounded while this little woman, who is embittered because she's had the hysterectomy and because I happen to be a good dancer, is calling me these things. Phil, I can tell you that this is not something that I try to bring on. I can literally, when a song starts, I'll just close my eyes and start moving my hips to the beat of the song. And really, the next thing you know, you've got about three or four men asking you to dance. It's that simple. It happens for me. Many women, it doesn't. I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say.
But spreading your legs and going up and down his leg and then jumping up on his shoulders.
These are all very... I'm very animal and I'm very uninhibited. It doesn't mean that I want her husband. Believe me, Phil, my husband's worth $25 million. We have a wonderful marriage. I don't want her little Jeff. I was simply trying to do him a favor.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Pat, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Margaret Gray.
Yes.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Hi.
Hi.
Margaret,
hello.
I happen to be a very good dancer, and mm-hmm. I recently had a hysterectomy.
Oh, my God.
And I've had... a really rough time with it, and my husband would never get on the dance floor and dirty dance with another woman. He would dirty dance with me, but I can dirty dance and be very sensuous without being vulgar. And
I believe that dancing
with someone's husband instead of your husband is vulgar, especially since she was a friend and she had head surgeries, and it's not your place to give her husband a good time.
Well,
that's why ladies are misinterpreted as being sensuous. They're vulgar, and usually people who dance vulgar are women who are over the hill, and I'm 55, and believe me, I am so embarrassed when women get on the dance floor,
over the hill,
and instead of acting like a sensuous lady, they act vulgar.
Right,
and if they take all of these dance lessons and stuff because they think that that makes them more vivacious or more attractive,
Can I say something, please?
Go ahead. Pat, hold on. Hold on. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
First of all, I'd like to say that I can just stand in the middle of a dance floor and just sway my hips gently, and men gather around me. That's number one. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Are you hearing me?
I can believe that. I could do the same thing, but I don't go out there and do that. If I sway my hips gently,
right,
I'm swaying them to my husband, not
I'm just swaying
to attract men on the dance floor.
I'm not trying to attract
men.
That
are not my partners.
Now, Jeff had confided in me. His wife had had a hysterectomy. Okay.
So what? A lot of women do.
His wife had a hysterectomy. And
I can't hear you, Ms. Gray, and nobody, you know, you're not keeping it a secret.
He said that it hadn't been too hot in the bedroom the last few years. And so I gave him a break. I slid up and down his leg.
It's not
Why
your place
is that
to do that.
A sin?
It is not your place to do that.
In front of his wife, that was
a slap in the face, and
what
it was an
that?
Insult.
What about hurting that woman?
She called me a C word and an MF. I should have fired her on the spot.
You know what?
And
that's the way you were behaving, because supposed to be a friend, and you were doing her husband a favor.
Yeah.
It is not your place.
In the middle of a song, I back up, I take a bit of a run, and I do a full cartwheel.
Oh, gosh.
I don't understand why that's so funny.
Well, I mean, it's very unusual, isn't it?
This is who I am. This is how I express myself.
Well, you know, there's a time and a place for everything, and I think there's a time and a place for you to express yourself in a gymnasium when you're alone and you want to do cartwheels.
Well, not necessarily at a social event with high profile. You've had a hysterectomy, haven't you?
Yes, and I am still quite
understand.
A woman.
I can understand that.
All right, listen, let's stop knocking women who've had hysterectomies, okay?
Exactly. That does
I'm simply saying that he wants to dance with a woman who can, when I move my hips, and men gather around. All right,
we know how the men gather. Listen, Pat,
I
gotta move
something?
On.
When you get a hysterectomy, you'll still be able to shake your hips the exact same way.
Thank you, Pat. 1-800-449-8686. Nani, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Oh, excuse me, Nani,
this
go ahead.
Friend, this lady, she would not have been out there trying to make her look bad to start with.
I wasn't trying to make her
dance like that. Then let her dance with her husband. Because I would not have wanted anyone dancing with my husband like that, no matter whether I'd had a hysterectomy or not.
Well, what was wrong
with
it?
That's just not proper.
What was wrong with it?
And furthermore than that, who gave her the job of making her husband feel better? Who cares?
His wife had a hysterectomy.
That doesn't make any difference. It's none of your business whether they have sex or not.
My husband...
You should not even concern yourself with that.
Well, I'm not, but he said, let's dance. The evening was warm. And the song, listen to this.
Well, then get out there. I don't want to hear the song. Get out there and dance.
We don't need to hear it.
Waltz or something. You didn't have to climb all over him, for God's sake.
I did not. I did a patented Las Vegas move. I was a dancer. You jump up
out
of the
show. That has nothing to do with anything. You weren't in Las Vegas, and you weren't professionally dancing.
So let me
ask. It's a whole different story.
I want to ask this question, Phil. So I'm to be reviled because I haven't fired this woman, because after she called me a C-word.
You're her boss.
Yes, Sandy works in our department.
So you're jumping up on her husband's shoulders face first, and she calls you C-word, and you're not going to fire her?
No, I'm not going to fire her. And by all rights, I should.
You know what? You're wasting your time. This woman is on such an ego trip. Well, there's nothing you're going to do to change
her mind.
Oh, my
God. What ego trip? Have you ever seen Showgirls?
Of course I have.
All right. Then that's my life. That's really my life story.
Well, then why don't you go back to that instead of trying to mess with other people's husbands?
I'm not, darling. I'm not trying to. I'm trying to be a writer now. But
listen to this. No, you're meeting God somewhere along the way.
All right, Nani, thank you very much.
It's been very nice talking,
but I can see right now
you're getting nowhere with this lady.
All right, ma'am. 1-800-449-8686. This woman was out on the dance floor dirty dancing with another woman's husband, thinking that she was doing the man a favor because that woman had had a hysterectomy. Isn't it improper? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Define prostitute.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
No, I know that. Turn that music off. I know the patented moves. Margaret Gray is with me. a woman called you a name because you were dirty dancing with her husband and you were going to fire her, but you think you've done her a favor by not firing her.
Well, absolutely, Phil.
Well, I mean, but, you know, humiliating her by running up and down the guy's leg, you know.
Phil, these are patented Las Vegas moves. I am a good dancer, and women are jealous of that. Other women are jealous of women that can dance. Ask any woman. Ask any woman in your audience. They seethe with rage when they see another woman that can obviously dance circles around them. And there are things I do. I do different things. I will get on my hands and knees. I crawl toward the man like a tiger. You know, it's a wonderful move. And I growl like a, you know, this kind of thing. And they just, it's fun. It's just a lot of fun. I do cartwheels. I do a lot of things. Why? Because I love life. And because Sandy Cummings lost her plumbing, if you'll pardon the expression, doesn't mean that I have to be reviled for this. I really feel, you know, when you got a lot of women who are not that well made up, they're not that, they really don't know about grooming, and they've got no rhythm, why shouldn't a husband be allowed to dance with a woman who has a little bit of that? Now, I wanted to give you...
Oh, hold on. Let me go to a phone call. You can give us the Las Vegas lesson if you want. But you still don't see why that woman would be angry.
Oh, I see why she's angry. I see. But don't blame me. Blame yourself, Sandy. Blame yourself for obviously not taking care of yourself with a hysterectomy and the fact you can't give your husband sex.
Boy, that's cruel. Man.
Oh, my God, Phil.
No, that is cruel. Here is Ingrid. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Oh, my God. I can't believe this lady. I
am simply...
a joke or something.
I'm simply saying that
I can't believe this lady, you know. I mean, I'm a good dancer. And let me tell you, you don't have to show that you're a good dancer by messing around with someone else's husband.
I'm not messing around. I'm dancing.
Oh, get out of here. Why do you have to spread your legs right in front of his face? Give me a break. You don't have to show up like that.
What's your best move?
That lady Cummings, I think she was a lady to just call you an M and a F and a C.
Are you Hispanic?
Excuse me?
Are you Hispanic?
Oh, yes, I am.
Yeah, well, coming
and
to your culture,
you,
I'm
I
sure you
dance,
can pick up some other names.
And I can move my
hips,
right.
And I
can do
from
everything.
Her culture?
What's your best move?
No, that's okay.
What's your best move?
Everything.
Oh, see, you're
okay.
Not a, you're
you
not
cannot
a dancer.
Compare yourself.
You're
to
not
me,
a dancer.
Girl. Let me tell you something.
What's your best?
Let me
I
tell
allow
you
the
something.
Man to take my head, put it between his legs.
Oh my God! I
you
think
know,
this is a joke.
Because I am
you're
not inhibited on the dance floor.
You're a joke.
All right. Hey, Ingrid, when you dance, is there such a thing as having a best move?
Excuse me?
Is there such a thing as having a best move when you dance?
I believe all the moves are good.
Wait, she's
so I don't know
a
what
she's
just talking
she's not
about.
A dancer.
One move.
She's not a dancer. Otherwise, she'd know what I'm talking about.
Oh, get out of here.
You know what? I'll give you a dance lesson.
You know what you do? You're trying to do a sexual move on a man, and you know, you're trying to embarrass that woman in front of a whole bunch of people.
Have you ever pretended to be...
Not just her husband, but a whole bunch of people.
She called me a C in front of Diane Sawyer.
She should have slapped you, too.
Well, I'm sure you would have, coming from your Cuban background.
No, honey, I'm not Cuban. I'm Colombian. You know, I would have did something else.
In the name of God, it's the difference. Have you ever pretended to be a Bengal tiger and crawled down along the floor?
Excuse me?
Have you ever pretended to be a Bengal tiger and crawled towards your man?
No, I think you're in need of another thing. I think you should go back to what you used to do.
I crawled towards
the
man
like a
tiger.
I think you're in the wrong field.
And I raised one leg as if to spray my scent on their leg.
Oh, you're just...
You've never pathetic. You've never done
you're
that.
You're pathetic.
Oh, my
you
God.
You need counsel.
Are there children present?
Some of the grandchildren, yes.
You're lifting your leg as if you're spraying your scent on him.
I'm sorry,
it's
Phil.
It's very sexual, and it is very exciting.
Is this woman for real? I mean, she sounds
well,
like a
Well, let me ask
psycho.
You something. Are you for real? Coming and calling me and saying that you're a dancer?
You're a psycho.
I am?
You really are.
Why? Because men like...
You need help. I feel sorry for you.
No, the only one who needs help is
in
you.
In fact, if
you
I were that
dance
lady,
lessons.
I would just quit, man. Or I would just sue you or
you
something.
Know what?
You're just
I'll
pathetic.
Sue me for what? You know what, Ingrid? I tell you what. The help you need is dance lessons.
Indecent exposure or
you're
something.
You're one of those girls who like to look like you dance with a pickle up your rear end, stiff and rigid.
All right, well, look it.
Get out of here.
Listen to this.
Phil, I don't know. I don't know about this.
One, two, three. And one, two, three. You slide up and down. Up and down. Right away. You know, you're just jealous because, in many ways, because I know Diane Sawyer, because I know all of these big names, and you don't, it just sort of puts you in your place, doesn't it?
I don't care. I don't care. You're nuts.
You're a liar. Yes, you do care.
Yeah, you're nuts.
You don't care. You don't care that I party with Diane Sawyer.
Care less.
Lion second.
Right.
All right, now listen to this. Now my head roundsy. I'm doing my head around. I'm throwing my hair around. Now my hips boom, chicks. But I'm throwing my hair around like a wild woman. Then I start purring. And the men, by this time, they're just pawing at me.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Oh, God, what was that the Mexican?
She's Colombian. Yes, it was.
Now I'm on my back, legs open, shut, open, shut, open, shut.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes. Are you...
You on the dance floor by yourself doing this?
No, there's others around.
Gee, it must be really comfortable on that dance floor with you down on the floor, legs open, shut.
So what happens is they see how good I am and they clear off. They back away. And then they start clapping their hands. Yeah. And then I purr again. Then I roar like a jungle cat. Meow! And then what I do is...
Oh, I don't care. You're making me sick.
Boy, you really are an ass, aren't you?
Yeah, that's me. I'm the ass. You're the one that's hunching some lady's husband's leg. You got the guy. What do you mean you jump up on his shoulders facing him?
Well, it seems to be the thing to do.
Yeah.
Bill, I really want to finish this out. Immune to the stuff. Oh, yeah. And now here's where I turn, stick my ass up in the air.
Yeah, okay, thank you. We got to get her together with Chris Norton.
Handsome Jeff Cummings won't see a dry clean.
Okay. All right, Margaret Gray, writer for the some crap can newspaper. Who reads her stuff anyway? And she was dirty dancing with a woman's husband, and guess what? The woman called her a C, an MF, a DS, DP, RA, GG, NYG, everything. OPGYN. She got it, man. She got it from both barrels. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back with an explanation of the Phil Henry Show, our usual disclaimer. We have a flashback for you from Friday's show. Paul Tubby Lane's going to join us. And we also have our football wrap-up for Monday and other news, including our mailbag. And President Bush, does this guy not want to be president? I guess he's just trying to blow his presidency up. But we've got it all coming up on The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Whore. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
The voice of Margaret Gray was performed by me. The people calling believe her to be a real person. That's the Phil Henry Show in a nutshell. And if you don't get it, stick around. You'll understand. And it should only take you about a day to 2 days. If it takes you any longer than that, we're very happy to have you as listeners. We just don't want to hang around with you. Now, our number is 1-800-449-8686. From Friday's show, Paul Lane, a high school football coach, was on to talk about how he motivates his young men during a football season.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I called my son, who is 19 years old, graduated from high school 2 years ago. He played high school football.
Right.
And I called him and asked him to turn on a radio because he's staying in a hotel room and there isn't one there. And I asked him what his coaches did. And they would no more have stepped into a shower with a boy at all.
Well, ma'am, could I make a point, Mr. Henry? First
no,
of all,
you cannot make a point, because I don't believe in your point.
Ma'am,
okay?
Utah is not known for high school.
For a half an
all right, hold
hour
on,
now.
Hold on.
And
everybody, hold on.
Let other people talk,
Julie,
okay?
Julie, this is Phil Henry.
No,
hold
no,
on.
No.
Julie,
no,
I'm the host of the show. You're going to hold on. What do you want to say, Paul?
Phil, all I want to say this lady is, Utah is not exactly known for its great high school football. I say that with all due respect. So it's no wonder that they're, you know, the coaches don't have the guts to lather up with a boy. They don't have the guts to grease up a Coke bottle or whatever you have to do to motivate a young man. That in Nebraska, we do. At least in my school, we do. Many other schools, Canada, and the great hockey coaches down through the years would love to shave the hair off another man's ass, you know, just for things that would accommodate each other. That's all. Now, this lady don't know nothing because her son played high school in Utah, which is about like playing peewee football in Southern California. So,
all right, hold on. Let me see if Julie's still there. Julie, still there?
I'm still here.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Okay, you know, he has his own attitude, and there's nothing that we say is going to ever change what that man has to think. Okay, what he's doing is wrong, plain and simple. These parents that are letting this happen need to be shot also. Besides this coach, okay? He may be a good coach and he's winning titles, and
that's right.
They may think that that's all fine and dandy, but the way he's doing it is wrong.
I kick ass, man. That's all I know. I kick a lot of ass.
That
and I lather up a lot of
coach,
ass, too.
But the way you're doing it, it is wrong.
Julie,
physically,
I just want to say.
Mentally, I mean, you shove anything up a child's butt, whether it be a Coke bottle, a hockey stick, a baseball bat, that is child abuse.
Okay. How do you define that?
Child abuse in any state.
How are you defining that? So you think it's sexual abuse that I make the heavyset boys on my...
No, child abuse. And if you look up, if you know anything about the law, sexual abuse has nothing to do with sex. It is called sexual abuse, but
yeah.
It has nothing to do with sex.
I saw
it has
Oprah
to do
too.
With power.
I saw the Oprah Winfrey Show, too. But what I want to say is...
Well, what do you mean you saw the Oprah Winfrey Show, too?
Well, she's just quoting Oprah. She don't know.
No, I'm not.
Now, here's the thing.
I work for a living. I work until 5 o'clock every night. Where I live at, Oprah Winfrey does not come until 4 o'clock.
Everybody says that to me. I do it, too.
I didn't hear either one of you guys. Could you repeat yourself, Julie, please?
Okay.
Say
he said that I watched Oprah Winfrey. He said I watched Oprah Winfrey.
No, I didn't. I said you saw Oprah Winfrey.
Comes on at 4 o'clock.
You watch Oprah Winfrey, not Oprah. There's a whole different show on the East Coast. It's Oprah.
I work till 5 o'clock, and she comes on at 4.
Oh, yeah. You know what time she comes on, so you don't watch her at all, you lying set.
All right, now watch that.
Yeah, okay. I just happen to know what time she comes on, okay?
You happen to know. You watch her show. You join her book club. You do everything she tells you to do.
You know, man, you have no clue.
You'd have sex with a black man if she told you to.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Bill, I just wanted to say something.
Oh, for God's sake. What are you back for?
No, I really want to say this. I agree with him. I get so sick to my stomach of these women who have no life of their own, but they've got to watch the Oprah Winfrey Show. Where do I go? What do I do? How do I dance? How do I not dance? Oprah, you must tell me. Oprah. I'm very, very disappointed in it. Now, I asked Mark to put this back on.
I don't need another dance lesson.
Phil, I have been maligned on your program, and I'd like to show some of the moves I learned in Las Vegas. Because I am a former professional dancer, and of course now I'm a writer. I did have a career as an actress, and I was also an executive producer. I've had a muddy, very career, but nothing I love more than dancing.
The lights are on.
You are not home. Now here it is. Slide your crotch down his leg.
Get out of here. Yeah, hey, she hit the post, though, didn't she? Out of sight. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Don't miss. Next hour, we will review the week in football and pro football. And how about them Trojans, huh? USC football on Troy, baby. They went up to Cal Berkeley, got their ass kicked. No, they didn't get their ass kicked, but they lost an OT, triple OT. But, brother, you go up to Strawberry Canyon, which is what I think they used to call it. I don't know what they call it. And let me tell you what, the Bears, they're for real, baby. They beat the Utah. No, of course, they did lose to Utah, so I don't know what that says about SC football. See, what you got to do, SC, is you got to go out there and play every week. All right? Play every week. Don't read your press clippings. Forget about when John Robinson was the coach and John McKay was the coach. Forget about national titles and forget about Rose Bowls. Just go out and play the stupid game, okay? You lost to a football team that couldn't even beat Utah. That's the sad, disgusting, pathetic truth of the University of Southern California football program, and my kid wants to go to your school. I'll tell you this much, you guys better start showing me something in the next, say, 6 months if my son is ever to set foot on your campus. If you were ever to cash one check of mine, which, frankly, I can't afford to send my kid there, so I don't even know why I'm talking about it. Actually, my son wants to go to Syracuse. That's how pathetic Southern California football and the basic university situation here is. I mean, UCLA is a great school. Don't get me wrong. NSC, it's okay. And Cal State Northridge, if you want to go, and they've got ashtrays in the classrooms, so that's really fun. No, he went to Syracuse. He fell in love with it. That's where he wants to be, an orange man, or an orange man, or an orange woman. In any event, University of Southern California goes up. Forget about that. You guys, UCLA, SC, kiss it goodbye, okay? Every freaking year it's the same thing. Even that game of yours is getting dull. Real dull. The Crosstown Championship, SC and UCLA. Yeah, okay. I remember when it meant something. It didn't mean really all that much, but at least it meant something. Now it's, you know, what is it? It's like I might as well, let's see, do I want to go and... Oh, I don't know. Do I want to go and finally have those impacted wisdom teeth taken out, or do I want to go to the SC-UCLA game? Impacted wisdom teeth, SC-UCLA. Impacted wisdom... Oh, get the teeth out. Sounds like it's much more of a kicky day. I couldn't freaking believe that one, man. I picked the paper up Sunday morning because I didn't watch any football on Saturday or yesterday because my wife likes sometimes to take these weekends where we absolutely are... away. We just don't go anywhere. We go to a place where there's no phone and no TV, and then I'm forced to read... I'm actually forced to, like, educate myself, read, sleep, have sex. You know, why would a guy want to do that? So I didn't watch any football this past weekend at all. But I did see the... So I pick up the paper on Sunday morning. And by the way, I want to make a comment here. We had a tragedy in our neighborhood on Thursday of last week. Actually, no, excuse me. It was a week ago Thursday. A young man who played football with my son was involved in a serious automobile accident, lost his leg, lost his foot. This kid played defensive back on the football team. Can you imagine waking up the next day, and yet the kid is so gutsy. First thing he asked about were the other people in the car. They said, you know, you lost your leg. He said, okay, but what about everybody else, right? What happened? Some juice hound. Some slob with 3 times the alcohol limit in his blood. You people that are out there drinking and driving, man, I can only hope and pray that when you send your car over the cliff, nobody else is going with you. Just do us all a favor. Drink, get in the car, and drive it off a cliff, okay? That way you're dead, which you're going to be anyway, and you don't take anybody else with you. You drunk. Try AA. Try something. Try suicide. Anything. Just get out of our lives, please. And with that, we'll be right back, okay? Mwah.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
By the way, we got great news for those of you who were calling because the lines were going crazy here. The owner of the Oakland Raiders, Al Davis, is all right. He's just come out of surgery. Doctors removed a pine cone from his ass, and he is doing great. Apparently, he was celebrating the team's win over San Diego, and suddenly, you know, it got pushed up there. But he is doing fine. Good for you, Al. And we're going to have a little football recap for you here on the Phil Hendry Show. Looks like Joe Dickhead went 10-3 yesterday, and it'll be 11-3 tomorrow when the Green Bay Packers take the Chicago Bears apart at Soldier Field, Chicago, which don't look much like Soldier Field these days. They had a whole article about Soldier Field in the L.A. Times, which I actually sat down and read. I looked at it, I kind of ran my fingers along the print and went, the Soldier Field, you know, moving my lips. And have you seen that ballpark? What they've done is they've taken... Did anybody know what I'm talking about when I say Soldier Field, Chicago? Well, it was a field that was dedicated, memorializing men in battle. And it was a very, very well-known edifice there, the columns of Soldier Field. Well, they've taken the outside of it and they put a brand-new stadium in the middle of it. It looks pretty weird. People are kind of freaking out about it. But who cares? The Chicago Bears play there, and as long as they're playing there, seats are going to be cheap. The seat, well, on second thought, no, they'll be the same price. Just nobody sitting in them. Now then, let's take a look at what happened in Week 4 in the National Football League. Arizona at St. Louis. St. Louis 37, Arizona 13. Joe Dickhead picked that one, baby. You don't really honestly believe Arizona is anything other than awful, even though they beat the Green Bay Packers. That's a football team that is, you know what, Pat Tillman, you and your brother, you the smartest move you ever made was going to Afghanistan, man. That guy would rather go to Afghanistan than play for the Arizona Cardinals. If ever there was a statement on that organization, that's it. I mean, with all, you know, and I know Pat Tillman's a great patriot, and I admired him for what he did. But let's face it, he wasn't leaving all that much behind. Anyway, they suck. Cincinnati at Cleveland, guess who won? You got it, Cincinnati 21, Cleveland 14. Joe Dickhead picked that one. Why? Because Cincy's defense is a lot better than some people think. And San Francisco must be horrible this year because Cleveland beat them. The Vikings just had a field day with them. San Francisco sucks. Nice going, Dennis Erickson. What is with the 49ers? What a sad situation. Does Bill Walsh have anything to do with that organization? He still does, doesn't he, in some very remote sense? I know what we'll do. We'll let Mariucci go, who's had us in the playoffs. We'll hire Dennis Erickson, who's never even sniffed a playoff game, has he? He's a college coach. Don't you understand? Don't you understand what Dennis Erickson is? Hasn't it finally the horrible reality? And there's nothing wrong with that. But he's a college coach. He's not a pro coach. There's a big difference, too. Ask John Robinson, as long as we were on that subject. Jacksonville at Houston. How about them Texans? Joe Dickhead picked Jacksonville, but Houston won 24-20. So Jacksonville is officially a horrific football team, and it ain't going to get any better, man. They've tried to change things around there. They got a new GM, new player personnel, new players. They suck. Washington over New England. Redskins 20, New England 17. Joe Dickhead picked that one. Nice going, Joe. Buffalo was picked in the Buffalo-Philadelphia game, so naturally Buffalo isn't going to win. Naturally, Buffalo can't really put together, two wins in a row. Not after, they lose to Miami last week. Now they're losing to Philadelphia. Now the real Buffalo Bills, the real nature of that football team is coming out for all to see. They blow. In fact, we ought to bring back our blowsometer. I used to use that in Miami for the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo, blah! And it was fun. Now, Minnesota at San Francisco, the Vikings are for real, baby, 35-7. Yeah, I was reading an article today. Do you know that Mike Tice, it was in like the last few weeks of last season, had Dante Culpepper, instead of having his team kick the extra point, which would have given them the tie, and going into overtime, right? They're 3-10. They're 3-10. The team stinks. And so what you want to do, maybe kick the extra point, go into overtime, right? The last thing you need is a loss, right? You know what he had him? He had Culpepper go for the two-point conversion with seconds left in regulation. When you're 3-10, you're down by one, you can kick an extra point, you can get, he said, go for it. Culpepper made it. They won that game, and they haven't looked back since. Now, I don't know what that says, but I was impressed at the time. I was just reading that in my bathrobe, sort of scratching myself and going, well, that's great. But now that I'm repeating it on the air, I'm a little embarrassed because it's stupid. All right, now, Tennessee at Pittsburgh, and Tennessee won that game. Joe Dickhead picked that. Tennessee 30, Pittsburgh 13. The Steelers suck. Yeah, let's face it. Jesus, those guys got no offense. Kansas City over Baltimore. Kansas City continues to roll. San Diego took Oakland into overtime. Nice going, Al. Joe Dickhead picked the Chargers. Picked the Chargers to win that one on the road. Talk about a gutsy call, man. That could have been sweet. That could have been sweet. On the road. Oakland, your home field advantage doesn't exist any more than your team exists. John Gruden has taken every bit of any kind of innovative thinking out of your backyard, man. He's down in Tampa. Give it up, Davis. Davis, the best thing you can do is get your hands out of the football operation of that team once and for all. All right, Carolina defeated Atlanta. Joe Dickhead picked that one. Dallas over the New York Jets. Sorry about that, Mark. 17-6. Dallas is now, what are they, like 3-0, 4-0? 4-1, 3-1. Denver defeated Detroit. So, Mariucci, they beat them by 4 points. So Mariucci's like 1-3 there, I think. Mariucci's 1-3. And who's Dallas? 3-1. Indianapolis beating New Orleans. Joe Dickhead picked that one. That guy Hazlitt down in New Orleans, his days are numbered. If that guy ain't out at the end of this year, then I'm Chris Pelton's uncle. I was going to say a monkey's uncle, but... And then tonight it's Green Bay at Chicago, and Green Bay should take care of Chicago. They should. They ought to win, but, you know, everybody's saying that Favre is, you know, is on his last legs, that Favre's a cripple. It's the only thing that team's got. So that's the way it went this past weekend in the National Football League. Joe is 38-20, so get a piece of fat and slide off. 38-20. Way to go, Joe Dickhead. And the professor, their picks will be coming up on Friday. 1-800-449-8686. But like I said, I didn't watch any football this weekend. The Cowboys are 2-1. How could they be 2-1? They've only played... Oh, they had a bye week? Jesus, how about that Parcells? What does he know anyway? I think that Parcells just comes in and threatens to kill every family member of a player who doesn't perform. I think that's his way of motivating. Just want you all to know that your wives and children are dead. You guys drop a ball, pass interference on a fourth down, on a big play situation, anything, your families are dead. That's how I'd motivate. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Today, Bud's most radical accidents in NASCAR. That's right, we'll be recapping all of the really choice rad accidents in NASCAR. More on the Mepham High Ass Pirates. I guess they've subpoenaed a bunch of them. I want to know why that coach isn't in jail. In jail is what I want to know. Why at least he hadn't been arrested. And Bush, I want to mention this about Bush. I'll get into it after the break. You know something, I got to be honest with you, and I don't give a crap what anybody says. This guy, Bush, is doing everything that he possibly can do to be thrown out of office in 2004. I have never seen a man take the goodwill of the American people and flush it down to John as fast as this guy. Now we got news that a CIA operative may have been compromised because of a White House leak trying to get back at someone who had critiqued the president. Do you understand what that means? Do you understand that that's a violation of federal law? Do you understand that we could have another Watergate? And guess what? They're reacting the same way they did at Watergate. Well, no, I didn't. I know nothing about that. And what did the president know? When did he know it? And how did he know it? All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Hey, our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. Write an interesting email. Who knows? It might go on the air. It might not. We may not be able to understand it. May be so intelligent and so literate and so forthright. We may just go, huh? And scratch our fuzzy heads like we're looking at the monolith. But send it anyway. Now, I'd like to say at this juncture in our program this afternoon, I'd like to point out again, and I know it may sound a little... like a broken record, but I always got to kind of reset, as they say in the business, that I have been a supporter of our president's initiatives in the Middle East. 100%. And I still am. And I can give you 8 million reasons why, but I'm not going to do that because I've already done that. And I ain't one of these guys. I ain't going to put it on my website either. The stuff that goes on our website is the funny stuff, okay? Not my blathering about the Middle East. The blathering about the Middle East, you can... Well, it's actually on the website, too, as a matter of fact. But I ain't exactly going to put it in a newsletter. You know what I'm saying? Here's Phil's 5 reasons why everything sucks. Or whatever these cats do with their little newsletters. All right. Now, I've been a big supporter of the president's. But I want to say this. And you better understand this, those of you who think that the whole world just cleaned up when Bill Clinton got out of office. Today, the White House stands suspected of having compromised the security of a CIA operative. Now, the individual, the CIA operative, is married to a former ambassador by the name of Joseph C. Wilson. Joseph C. Wilson was a main critic of Bush's Iraq weapons of mass destruction statements. He was a very big critic. Now, the thinking is that if they could, I'm trying to get to the part of the article here, that if they could out this guy's wife, who is the CIA operative, that it would embarrass him somehow, meaning he had information that he wasn't turning over, or that he had information that he knew and he wasn't helping his country with, so on and so forth. Now, let me just read this so I know exactly what it is I'm talking about. Wilson had suggested publicly that Bush's senior advisor, Karl Rove, was the one who broke his wife's cover. Now, that's not what I wanted to read. Well, in any event, you know what I'm talking about, okay? So this guy is married to a CIA operative. This guy was critical of the Bush administration's policy toward Iraq vis-a-vis weapons of mass destruction. The White House, it is suspected, leaked the name of this man's wife to the press so as to show this man having more knowledge than he claimed to have, or that in some way he wasn't helping his country obtain knowledge or obtain information with regard to this issue. There's only one little problem. The wife, being a CIA operative, has contacts, and she has contacts around the world. And those contacts can be tracked by foreign governments who are not friendly to us, and some of those people can be compromised, which, of course, as you know, is movie talk for killed. That means people's lives have been put into danger. And I'll give you another one, just in case you haven't, if you haven't crapped in your pants yet, and if you're a Bush supporter, and you're one of these Republicans who thinks that the whole world is just going, is just right on right track when a Republican gets into the White House and these liberals are killing us, well, get ready, man, better get the toilet paper, because this is a violation of federal law. That means jail. That means federal penitentiary. And if the president knew anything about it, God help him. Because if you think Clinton sticking Monica's head between his legs in the White House Oval Office was a big deal, brother, this is 50 times worse. 50 times worse. You may think that this is cool compared to Clinton getting oral sex in the thing. But you got to be putting me on if you think it is. This is exposing a CIA operative. This is compromising the security of your country. This is possibly putting people's lives in danger. This is bad. Bad, bad, bad. I have never seen a White House in my life, and I've been around for a lot of presidents, never seen one ready to crap his presidency right down the toilet like Bush. I mean, I thought his old man was ready to get out of there in 4 years. This guy, I don't think he's going to want to last three. His aides promised yesterday to cooperate. The Justice Department's looking into this, okay? So that's where it's at right now. Into an administration leak that exposed the identity of a CIA operative. Democrats say that the White House cannot investigate itself. Hence, that's why we have these special prosecutors. That's why they had what it was. That's why the office was started at Watergate. How can the executive branch investigate itself? How can, in other words, a law enforcement arm of the government enforce the law on itself? So they need a special... The special prosecutor is like the internal... what do the hell the cops call it when they have internal investigations? Internal affairs? That's what the prosecutor is. He's like the internal affairs of the police department. White House officials said they would turn over phone logs to the Justice Department if they were asked to. The aide said Bush has no plans to ask his staff members whether they played a role in revealing the name of an undercover officer who was married to a former ambassador. Now, an administration official told, you know what, if I were Bush, I'd get everybody in front of, I'd say, whoever one of you son of a bitches did it, you know what, I'm calling the Justice Department right now. So you better tell me, that, you better tell, if Bush knows what's good for him, honest to God, I'm not kidding you, if he knows what's the right thing to do, don't do what Nixon did. Get them in front of you and say, who's the son of a bitch that did it? Step forward right now. It was you, Charlie? Great. I'm calling the Justice Department right now. You call the Attorney General. An administration official told the Washington Post on Saturday that two White House officials leaked the information to selected journalists to discredit Wilson. Now, the leak could constitute a federal crime, and intelligence officials said it might have endangered confidential sources who had aided the operative throughout her career. CIA Director has asked the Justice Department to investigate how the leak occurred. White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan said, of course, we'll cooperate, yada, yada, yada. Now, the controversy erupted this past weekend when administration officials reported that George Tenet, who is the CIA director, sent the Justice Department a letter raising questions about whether federal law was broken when the operative, her name Valerie Plame, was exposed. Now, I'm not blowing her cover because that's her maiden name. Valerie Plame was exposed. She was named in a column by Robert D. Novak that ran July 14th in the Post. It's funny how they're getting around to figuring out whether it's against the law now, right? Now, if you don't know who Robert Novak is, this guy's one of these mealy-mouth conservative columnists who might have just stuck both feet in the crap here. Because he's a journalist, it's understood, and I think it would probably go without saying that he is not going to name his source, okay? But Robert Novak is a conservative journalist. Doesn't he love his country? Well, Robert, I realize you want to be a journalist, but you know, you're also a big Bush supporter and you're a big flag waver when it comes to these guys. So who was it, baby? You might as well tell them because they're going to be asking you. And there isn't any law that protects a journalist, by the way. You can still go to jail, but it's journalistic ethics that say, I have to protect my sources. If I don't, they'll never speak to me again. So they never name a source. Novak is one of these mealy-mouth guys that... if he knows what's good for him, he might want to turn over the names. CIA officials approached the Justice Department about a possible investigation within a week of the column's publication. All right, what does this mean to you guys? What does this mean to Mr. and Mrs. America? I understand you're listening to me. You don't know what the hell it is I'm talking about, do you? I'm talking about this. I'm talking about business as usual. I'm talking about the same old stuff over and over and over and over and over again. I'm talking about these guys that are hired by a president who get drunk with power. They get into the White House. They're walking around with a briefcase. They're walking around with a security clearance. They're walking around with their own staff car. They think they're the president, not the real president. They're the president. And they decide that they're going to act on their own, perhaps. I'm praying they're acting on their own. I hope Bush didn't know anything about this. These guys that are these chief of staffs and counsels and director of communications and this and that and something else, I mean, you might as well think you're having an audience with the Pope. We'll be back with more of this crap. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
I'm trying to figure out here now how this would be an embarrassment. I know that it's technically it would reveal that this guy had some information. Talk about this Wilson guy and his wife, who's a CIA operative, and her name was leaked to a columnist by the name of Robert Novak, and then this dumbass put it into his column, and the next thing you know, there's a problem here. There's a problem, Houston. Problem is, when you reveal the name of a CIA operative, you're breaking federal law. Robert Novak, I guess, for all of his literacy and genius and just such a brilliant guy, he ain't that brilliant. Because he put it in his column, and now there's some people sweating bullets at the White House. Probably not the least of them the president. This guy, you know, you can imagine what Bush is feeling right now. I mean, he had the world on a string. What'd you guys do? Well, we gave the name to Novak. Novak? That blathermouth? You give it to him? Jeez, that guy couldn't keep a mouse fart quiet. Well, Mr. President, we thought maybe it would embarrass this guy, Wilson. Well, what is it with you guys? You want to help me by putting me in prison? They're dusting off the hot seat for me. Lee J. Cobb on the waterfront. Wilson had accused the president of exaggerating the weapons of mass destruction threat. He wrote in the New York Times in July that he went to Niger early in 2002 at the CIA's request to assess a report that Iraq sought uranium. And the International Atomic Energy Agency dismissed the allegation as based on forged documents. Well, the Niger uranium charge found its way into Bush's State of the Union speech in January. And only after Wilson went public did the White House admit Bush should not have included it, blaming the CIA. The fact that Wilson's wife worked for the CIA was published by columnist Robert Novak shortly after Wilson's article appeared in the New York Times. He refused to divulge his source. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. You can't be that stupid, Bush. You cannot possibly have hired guys that dumb. Are you putting me on after all of this stuff about Clinton, 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 and America needs a new, honesty, 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 and all that bull crap? You got these guys playing games. Now you got this jackass Robert Novak, who's a wannabe TV commentator. He writes a boring political column. Now he's sticking names in there that could be a violation of federal law. You guys are running around like you're a bunch of kindergartners. You guys are running around like you're waiting for, to look through. Are you a doobie or a don't be? You're looking to look through that little, remember that little mirror that the lady had? Now let's look through the little mirror. I forget what the hell it was. What was it about Romper Room that made it so watchable? What was it about that show? I always watched it as a kid, It's like looking through the little thing, and it was nothing. I mean, the show had nothing. She had imaginary kids hopping over imaginary things. I'm like, God, this is bitching. Because it was just a very calming show, wasn't it? It was always those really cool-looking ladies, Miss Elliot, Miss Ellen or something. Okay, and you can get it all at J.J. Remember J.J. Newberry in... Anyway, so this is the problem he's got. I mean, I'm going to tell you guys something. Many of you, my younger listeners, you don't understand what's going on here. What's going on is it's possible that the White House has violated federal law. Members of the president's staff or people who work in his administration may have violated federal law by divulging the name of a CIA operative. On top of that, that information was then published in a newspaper column. If you're gonna leak it to somebody, probably the worst person to leak it to, other than maybe giving it over to the Russians or the Chinese, is to give it to a newspaper columnist. They thought they were giving it to a friendly guy, and Robert Novak may be friendly, but bright he ain't. If he sticks that in his column, because that alerted the CIA to the possibility of a violation of federal law. Now, this means federal prison. Now, it could mean federal prison for just one or two members of the president's administration. The problem you get into, and it was the problem that Nixon got into, although many contend to this very day that he knew the burglary was going to happen before it happened. The problem you get into is if the president is involved in any way, shape, or form of protecting these people, it's called obstruction of justice, then the president of the United States is violating the law. And then you got, well, you know what you got, impeachment. And it's for something far more serious than sex in the Oval Office. Guaranteed. Far more serious. Now, I like to think, because I think President Bush is a decent guy, that this was something that was done without his knowledge. I think it was just a couple of jackass Indian, Indian-esque guys running wild through the White House, just a bunch of Wild West show jackasses who think they're going to clean everything up, and so the president can get some sleep at night. I mean, that's the way these guys think. This is their mentality. We'll protect this administration. You just watch what we're going to do. Oh, yeah? That's great. See you in Lompoc, minimum security federal prison. And I hear it ain't no country club either. Who went to Lompoc? Dean Ehrlichman and Haldeman and all those names. Charles Colson. Oh, my God. I don't know, like 6, 7, 8, 9 guys from the Nixon administration went to federal prison. Now, why do they got to have an independent counsel? As I said to you last half hour, because you can't very well have a police agency police itself. And as the executive branch of the United States government, they are basically the law enforcement branch of our government. How do they enforce a law that they may be breaking? It's kind of tough. That's why they instituted the Office of the Special Prosecutor, who's an independent guy who's selected by Congress, approved by the executive office, and then he goes in and takes a look. Nixon, by the way, fired a couple of them because he didn't like the fact they were getting too hot. This is a bad one. Now, it may go away. It may get covered up. It may get swept under the rug. It may have a lot of things. But I'll tell you right now, it's a bad one. It started this weekend, and you keep an eye on it. Guarantee you keep an eye on this, because if they don't come up with a satisfactory answer, and soon, someone's neck's going to get stretched on this one. And what you got to hope that it ain't the president. And I sure hope he didn't have any tape recording equipment around there saying, I think what we ought to do is just pay him $1 million, sons of bitches. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Speaking of the president in big trouble, speaking of taking the shorts, they're going to investigate the high school officials over there in Meppam. Speaking of taking a pine cone up the rear end, right now the president's having a hard time sitting down on this one.
God.
We're going to come back with our mailbag and news about tequila. 1-800-449-8686. You just listen to what I'm telling you. Because in life, nothing is black and white. And if you want to think that it's all either conservative or liberal, you're a child. You're a child trying to play in the world of adults. Life is not just conservative or liberal. It's every spectrum of color in between. And usually the response you get when you come up with something like this from the real pea brains out there is, well, here's what the Democrats have done wrong. This isn't about whether the Democrats did something wrong, the Republicans did something wrong. This is about an elected official. And these guys screwing around one more time. Now, I know what this kind of crap did to the country once before. And if you don't know, stick around, because if this thing gets out of hand, what happens is you're going to have the another president being considered for impeachment. That'll make three in the last 30 years. All right, phs@philhenryshow.com is our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, listen, if you go to our website, philhenryshow.com, I want you to get a backstage pass. And the reason why I want you to get this backstage pass, because for $6.95 a month, you have access to all the audio from our shows over the last 30 days. Is that our archive? The 30-day archive. Plus, you have access to all of our short clips and our long clips going back 8-9 years. I mean, we've got stuff on there that goes back years and different generations and different versions of the Phil Hendry Show. And it's all for you to listen to. And in some instances, you can download it. Now you can download our material, including the live streaming of the show. All you got to do is get a backstage pass, $6.95 a month, and throw a CD in there and have yourself a merry little Christmas. Have at it. Okay, that's all you got to do by going to www.philhenryshow.com, www.philhenryshow.com. I got to tell you something. This whole trip with the Bush administration and this leaking of the CIA operative's name, it just gets uglier and uglier. I got to tell you something, Mr. President. And then we're going to go to our mailbag. But don't do it, man. Don't do what Nixon did. Don't do it. Don't screw around. Don't putz around. Don't wait for the Justice Department subpoenas. Don't have your lawyer review it to see if it's legal. Don't do any of that. You get every last one of those slobs into that cabinet room or whatever the hell it is you use to meet with everybody, and you say to them, which one of you pieces of crap did it to me? Which one of you did it? Which one of you leaked it? And I'm going to find out, because the guy that leaked it is going over to the Justice Department right now, and you're going to tell the Attorney General. And if you get indicted, you get indicted. If you get arrested, you get arrested. That's too freaking bad. You're not going to bring down a presidency. It already has happened in the case of Nixon. In the case of Clinton, for something as seemingly trivial as sex in the Oval Office when compared to something like this. Now I'll have people call up and go, that's not really trivial what Clinton did. I know, I said in comparison to this. Well, I just want to make sure you know. I got it. You know, so don't do it, Bush. I just saw a thing here in a paper that says the president has no plans on interviewing any of his aides or any of his staff members or any of his administration officials. No plans. That's the first thing you ought to do. What are you, nuts? Who's advising this man anyway? You know, that Condoleezza Rice, I used to be a big fan of hers. I'm wondering whether or not she's got her head so far up her rear end, she's going to open her eyes, she could give herself a tonsillectomy. What did that say? What did I say? To open her eyes, she could give herself a tonsillectomy? Condoleezza Rice, first she screws the pooch on that weapons of mass destruction. Now we got this. What the hell is she doing for him? Or is it, who else do you think it is? Is it Cheney with his big fat mouth? Or is it Dick Cheney's wife, Lynn? Or who's the counsel? Who's the chief of staff? Those are the slime balls. Those are the guys that do it. Those are the cats you got to watch out for. Who's the counsel to the president? Who's the president's personal lawyer? Who's the, there's all kinds of lawyers. You'd be surprised. Director of communications, press secretary, 50 million guys on the payroll over there. You remember the day I told you this, because I know right now you guys don't know what the hell it is I'm talking about. 90% of talk radio is generally people not knowing what the hell it is a guy is talking about. I try to cut the percentage down a little bit on my show, but my, you know, a lot of times we screw up. But this one's so big, and this one is so ugly, and this one, personally, coming from me, I supported the president in Iraq, I still do. I think he's got big problems in terms of running the country here at home. Everybody knows that. And now this guy's not going to be reelected in 2004. Are you high? What are you smoking, man? Get your head out of the oven. He's not getting elected in 2004. You Republicans better start looking around, man. You better start going to the trash can or go up in the attic and look through a trunk. Who are you going to run in 2004? This guy ain't getting reelected unless somebody pulls their head out of their rear end. I mean, I have never in my life seen a presidency go into the crapper faster. Now the guy has got people in his administration staring at a federal rap? Come on! In any event, time now for our mailbag. Phil, I was on the web and the Mepham High yearbook popped up. It is really called the poop deck. But the funniest thing was that the updates column was called Scuttlebutt. Truth is stranger than fiction. Love you guys. Lynn Escobar. Phil, you're 100% right on the money about Coppola's piece of crap of a movie. I was there as a kid of 19, and Fat Boy's movie has nothing to do with the way it was over there. It was about burning leeches off your scalp practically every morning during monsoon season. It was about wading through swamps and getting ringworm. It was about doing your damnedest best to avoid stepping on a booby trap. It was fear, fear, because you never knew if it was your day to die that day, because when in the jungle, you cannot see where they're shooting at you from. Coppola turned the whole thing into some kind of a sick and twisted Hollywood joke. I hated that worthless flick. Thanks for telling it like it is. We love you out here. Don't watch TV at all. Radio rules. Radio's everything. You're a genius, Kirk. Captain Kirk. When he says we watch TV out here? Okay. Phil, just wondering how it feels to have dill hole Sean Hannity hanging around L.A. County. I'm in Oregon and he's too close for me. Keep up the good work, Brad. I didn't know that Sean was here. He owes me a drink. I'm a loyal fan, but you're starting to piss me off. Your show's the best thing that ever happened to that Republican radio station you're on. You're one of the few genuine entertainers in this plastic home that we call Los Angeles. That being said, I'm asking you to hold your judgment on Kobe until the verdict. If he is proven to be a buddy bandit, I will gladly bash him with you, but let the man have a trial. You're bigger than that, Phil. I'm ashamed of you, Phil. I know you don't like basketball, but I'm sure many of your local fans bleed purple and gold. Don't crap in the kitchen, man. God bless the West. Your mother, Marjorie. Okay, Phil, your website rules the freaking universe. It's the best use of the internet since porn. Mike of Huntington Beach. Phil, we love your show here in Salt Lake City. Your opinion about KSL TV refusing to air couplings was not quite right, though. KSL is owned by the Mormon Church, and it has made similar refusals in the past, most notably Saturday Night Live, which hasn't been shown on NBC here since KSL became the NBC affiliate. This refusal is genuinely based on the fact that KSL and its owner think the show doesn't meet community standards. I know because I work for the Mormon Church. And when I'm at work, I can't access your website because it gets rejected by the internet filters we use because of some of the language found on your webpage. Bummer. Sincerely, Brigham Young. I'm joking around. It's some guy. Hey, Phil, love your show and wanted to, if RC will be coming back in the future. Thanks, Dave. Phil, this is becoming one of my favorite bits. Phil explains the bullcrap. Just want to let you know, Eric. Hey, Phil, what is up with hazing? Next time you call up the media department of a football team or athletic organization, tell the media relations department that you're requesting an interview regarding the topic of teabagging. If there's anybody that would know about teabagging, it's probably those clowns in the media relations department. Also, regarding Madonna, her book being number one as a bestseller is outrageous. She's really bitchy at her book signings, supposedly. She's passing out pre-signed books and won't let people take her picture. I would love to show up to her book signing with a copy of her old book, Sex. I would also like to have sex with her, but I guess that's out, considering how I feel about her. Sincerely, Johnny Rockin'. All right, and finally, we got one here. Hey, Mr. Middle of the Road and Fair and Balanced. Yeah, right. Just like you were too gutless to recognize that 100% of the anti-war protesters are liberals, you likewise are too gutless to take note of all the stupid things your liberal Democratic representatives say, stupid things every day. The same man who represents your party say things that make George Bush look like friggin' Albert Einstein. Of course, Sheila Jackson Lee is opening her dumb mouth again, but you won't say, who knows? Who's Sheila Jackson Lee? Is that Tommy's new wife? Hola, Phil. You're like a nightly orgasm. I make sure by 10 a.m. I'm in bed. 10 p.m. I'm in bed. Oh, never mind. We'll read it later. We have to take a break. Phil Henry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And I'm still going to talk about this Bush thing. Yeah! Why are you on that kick, Phil? Why don't you get on to Kobe, huh? Get on to what's going on with Kobes. I'll talk about him. But I just found out something really interesting. I think you're going to want to know it. Now, you know what I told you about last hour? That some administration officials told a newspaper columnist that the wife of a former United States ambassador was a CIA operative or agent, and she was involved in weapons of mass destruction. And this columnist is by the name of Robert Novak. He printed her name, and outing an operative for the CIA is against federal law. Now, they don't want Robert Novak. He's some small potatoes clown, some small potatoes conservative columnist that's been boring people to tears for 46 years. Now, they don't want him. They want who it was in the White House. But to get who it was in the White House that opened their big fat traps, they got to go through this guy Novak. And already, he's lying. Novak's a liar. Novak tells the Drudge Report, nobody in the Bush administration called me to leak this. In July, I was interviewing a senior administration official on Ambassador Wilson's report when he told me the trip was inspired by his wife, blah, blah. Another senior official told me the same thing. As a professional journalist, I don't reveal sources. When I called the CIA in July to confirm Mrs. Wilson's involvement in the mission for her husband, he's a former Clinton administration official, they asked me not to use her name, but never indicated it would endanger her or anybody else. According to a confidential source of the CIA, Mrs. Wilson was an analyst, not a spy, not a covert operator, not in charge of undercover operatives. Now that's what this guy Novak says. But if you read his column, which maybe he didn't, not only does he use her name, which he was asked by, according to him, he was asked by the CIA not to use her name, but he himself calls her an agency operative on weapons of mass destruction. Two senior administration officials told me Wilson's wife suggested sending him to Niger to investigate an Italian report. The CIA says it's counter-proliferation, on and on and on and on. Wilson never worked for the CIA, but his wife, Valerie Plame, or Plame, is an agency operative. Robert Novak, in his column, Mission to Niger, July 14, 2003. You're in big trouble, fat mouth. You know, you can be so high and mighty And you can be so in love with yourself and so in love with your mission to civilize America from these terrible liberals. And you can be just so sure that you're right that you step in one of the biggest piles of cow crap that your foot disappears forever in it, man. Don't ever think that your crap doesn't smell, pal. Don't ever think because you're a conservative or whatever the hell it is you think you are, that you're the savior of America and you can just sort of throw your weight around and just go wherever you want, do whatever you want, say whatever you want, because who's going to touch you? Well, guess what? You're in trouble. There's a couple of guys in Bush's administration right now that's in trouble. I'm going to tell you something. If they let this one go, there's no guts. There's no guts in the Washington press corps like there used to be. No guts at all. And Novak is one of these smug slobs who thinks he's smarter than he is and believes that everything he does is right. And I'm sure he's got, so this is his answer to the charge that he leaked the name of an agency operative. He denies having done it. Well, you're a liar because you gave her name. You also call her an operative. And frankly, if I were you, I'd start leaking some sources there, Novak. Or do you not want to get your friend George Bush in trouble? Is that it? You want to keep the president out of jail? Or some of your pals over there in the White House? Unbelievable. This is called arrogance and gall at its greatest, at its biggest, at its heaviest. You guys over there in conservative land, off there in fairy tale land, you might want to come down back down to earth. Get out of your balloon, take the freaking hookah out of your face, okay? Quit sucking on the nitrous oxide and come on back down to earth with the rest of us. Live on the same planet we all live on, all right? You guys ain't the saviors of the planet Earth. And no matter how much you try, how much you sweat, how much you bleed and plead, you're never going to be the only political party in America. And just when you guys start to make a little bit of sense on things, I got to read more about your Republican bullcrap with this stuff leaking the name of a CIA operative, a violation of federal law, never mind the fact that it endangers the lives of people that this woman has had contact with. You get some people killed, in other words. You understand that, don't you? Or are you too smart for that one? You get people killed. Nice going, man. Mr. Bush, if I were you, I'd start drinking again. But barring that, I would get all those... I'm saying it again. I said it before, I'll say it again. Get them in there. Find out who did it. See, here's the problem. It might be a friend of his, right? What if it's some good pal of his, it's a counsel or something? Gee, Mr. President, I did it. I leaked it. Well, you know what? You're going to the Attorney General, and you're going to tell him everything that you know, and you better pray to Jesus he doesn't indict you. Well, we've been friends a long time, Mr. President. Well, friends a long time. Gonna pull that card on me now, huh? Look what you did to me. Look what the situation you put me in, you slob. If anybody in Washington gives a crap about George Bush, which probably they don't, when this kind of stuff happens, everybody starts covering their own ass. Don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it. Look at this guy Novak. He'd just as soon see him all burned down and him expose a source. You get those guys in front of you, and I'd sweat them, man. I'd set them. They'd all stand there for days until somebody comes clean on the steel. Then send his ass over to the Attorney General and then fire him. That's how you do that. All right, 1-800-449-8686. I still have other stuff in the mailbag, and I don't know whether you want me to read it or not or save it for another day. Save it for another day. Okay, we got like three or four other things in the mailbag. Coming up, this week's most rad accidents in NASCAR with Bud Dickman.
That's going to come up.
I just said that, didn't I?
Yeah, it's coming up.
Yeah, I just said that, didn't I?
It's coming up.
I just said it.
Don't miss it. It's right around the corner.
one 800 449. Our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8666.
And now, Bud Dickman presents the most rad accidents in NASCAR on this past weekend.
Gotta keep them going.
And I'm going to be doing something a little bit different this week. Not only will I have the description of the accident, but I'm also going to have the sound effects of what I sound like when a car breaks apart. So that's going to be really bitching. All right.
Got to be a fever.
This is Bud Dickman with the most rad accidents in NASCAR. If you hear this sound, that means it was an accident. Okay. Now, what?
Would you just turn it down for a minute?
Sure.
That was a bowling ball hitting pins, man. That doesn't...
Right. Well, Mark's still looking for the sound effect. But just don't harsh my buzz. Get out of here, you ass.
Big wheels rolling. Big wheels rolling. Moving on.
Now, Bud Dickman with our big NASCAR rad accents of the day. Okay. This was at the EA Sports 500. Man, on lap 188, a checkered flag because Michael Waltrip wins the EA Sports 500. Yeah, that may be bitching, but there's a multi-car wreck after the checkered flag. It was radical. What is that? That's the sound of flesh sizzling. Give me that!
I ain't having you do this anymore if you're having flesh sizzling. Do you understand?
But it's a radical accident. Did anybody burn alive in the car? Not that I know of.
Well, then don't have it on the thing, man. The sound of flesh sizzling.
You all right?
No, I'm not.
On lap 182, amidst the battle for the lead, Elliot Sadler spins and goes airborne and flips in a horrible crash. Rad. Safety crew arrives quickly to pull Sadler from the car. I bet she's on fire and everything. I bet you when they pull him out of the car, it sounded like this. Yeah.
All right, turn it off. Turn it off. When a man is in an automobile accident.
Oh, here we go.
What's that?
All right, look, you know. You want to give a speech now? Is that what's going to happen?
I just wanted to talk about how when a man's in an accident, it's a horrible thing.
Oh, okay. Thank you. That's great. Can I finish what I'm doing here?
Well, get a load of you. The big star, huh? Hold on. Yes?
What are you doing now?
Mr. Hall, I'm trying to finish, and he won't let me.
Just let him finish, will you?
The sound is sizzling, huh?
So what? Big deal. Just let the guy do his thing, will you? You're already 3 minutes late on this piece of crap. Now do it! What's this?
This is his theme music.
Okay.
Big wheels rolling.
How about Dickman?
Wheels rolling.
Excellent. Anyway,
the man, he got pulled out of the car before it blew up and he was dead. That's radical. No. Lap 143, caution's out. Leader Jimmy Johnson makes contact with Michael Waltrip and spins out. Waltrip is the new leader. His car went up in the air and then it crashed. And then Waltrip ran out of the car screaming. And he sounded like this. Going, ah! Help! Just bitching. Yeah. It's radical.
Osmond become addicted to the grind.
Very good, bud.
It takes a
very good, bud,
to be a truck driver.
And on lap 10, a wreck involving Johnny Benson, Jeremy Mayfield, Larry Foyt, Jimmy Spencer, Tony Rames, David Green. Just a bunch of stuff. The accident was set off and Mayfield's left rear tire went down. Foyt transported to the local hospital for checkup, but he's okay. And then another car was up in the air, and as soon as it landed, the guy sounded like that. Then when they took him to the hospital, the doctor said, oh, geez, he's on fire. So he better get a fire extinguisher. Shut up! What do you mean a fire extinguisher?
is bitching. This Bud Dickman was at NASCAR's Radical Accidents.
Always on the go.
It's radical. It's beautiful, man.
Jamming gears has got to be a fever. Cause men become addicted to the grind.
Yeah.
Turn it off.
Special breed.
Get some parked up your butt.
And just turn it off. Pull that load behind.
For everybody. Big wheel turning. And the car is flying, and I'm burning alive. And
thank you, Bud Dickman's Rad Accidents.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Chris, what do you think you are? You think that you are this telemarketer and spoiling this market? You are. You have the nerve to talk to the kids of the people?
What, is this that dude from
now,
the
what do you think you are?
Hey, Apu, man.
If you ever call my home and ask my kid over there, I'm going to chop your head off.
Well, wait a second, Apu. Give me a pack of Marlboro Lights.
Just talk to him seriously, please.
Okay, I mean, all I'm saying is, I'm calling up if your kid answers the phone, okay?
You have no right to ask if the kid asks the phone, answer the phone. You have no right to ask the kid to go and get the credit card and give you the number. It's a fraud. It's a criminal offense. And you should be behind bars.
Wait, are you speaking Banji or something? Or
what?
What language are you speaking? Bongo? Or
he's speaking English, sir. He has an accent. He's speaking English.
I'm speaking English.
Well, look, I'm saying that when I... Here's all I'm doing. I ring up the phone. Hi, how you doing? Like, if it's your daughter, I'll go, hey, what's up with you? Or, you know, you sound pretty sweet. And is your dad home? And she goes, I don't know, maybe. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. I mean, you know, what are you wearing right now? Stuff like that. It just flatters her, okay? And then I tell her about all the vitamins that we have, you know. And she'll say, wow, that sounds really good because I'm trying to keep my figure and there's a lot of boys at school. I know. I go, boys like girls who got, you know, firm bodies or whatever. And then I'll say, do you want them? And she'll say, yeah. And I'll say, okay, what's your credit card number? And she'll say, well, I don't know. I said, well, go to your dad's wallet and get it.
That's
what's wrong with that?
Fraud. It's a criminal offense. You have no right to do that.
And what do you mean you're telling the girl you sound pretty tight?
Well, what are you talking about, man?
You're talking to this guy's daughter and saying, hey, what are you wearing right now?
Well, you don't mind that, do you, Victor?
If Chris, you ever dare to call my home and ask my kids over there, I'll chop your head off. And I'll send the cops behind you. You have no right to do this. It's a fraud.
Hey, wait a minute.
It's a criminal offense.
Chop my head off. What do you think this is? The Daniel Burns story?
You have to call the home and ask the kid to get the credit card?
Okay, let me ask you this. How old is your daughter?
My daughter?
Yeah.
I don't have a daughter right now who's not living at home.
You don't have a daughter right now who's not living at home, which means you have a daughter.
She's at home. She's adult.
Okay, so how old is she?
Oh, she's 32.
Okay, where's she? Where does she live?
Well, you never mind. Don't answer these questions.
What she has to do with that?
I just want to... Is she...
No, listen.
Is she
you have no right to call anybody's home and get a credit card from the kids and asking him or her to get from the father or mother's pocket?
Can I ask you a question, sir? And I'm curious. Does your daughter have that dot on the forehead?
Would you shut up?
You have no right to ask anyone.
Okay.
Forget about daughter or son.
All right, listen. Here's what I want to ask you. Do you take vitamins?
Listen, that's immaterial.
No, you're right. But I was just curious because you sound...
Here that you have no right to ask the kids for the credit card from the parents' pocket. That's all I'm pointing out to you.
No, you know what? You're probably right.
It's a fraud.
Okay, you're probably right. But if
I'm probably right. I am right. If not, then I can just send your name. I can get your name, and I can get your phone number, and I send the cops to you.
Okay, but have you ever had bipolar disorder? Because vitamin B...
What are you doing now? You trying to make a sale to this guy?
Well, I'm just trying to...
I'm pointing out that you have no right to do that thing. Forget about what you're selling in there. You have no right to sell.
So your daughter's tight?
Listen, talk about the daughter. You must be selling your parents or you must be selling your family, I guess.
I guess, man. This guy
is selling your daughter, are you?
I'm selling your mom. How much are you offering?
I'm not offering. I don't give a damn to you.
You know,
Mr. Norton,
like that, okay?
Mr. Norton, you have a...
Look, Vic, I bet we can set up a nice little stand in your 7-Eleven.
Okay, you with the 7-Eleven gag, stop it.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Boy, that is old, isn't it? That whole 7-Eleven, the Indian guy. You know, it's been so freaking long. Most of the cats I see at 7-Elevens now are just red old, you know, white trash, redneck, whoever. Tequila. I got some tequila news, but just remember, Bush is in big trouble. No, I'm kidding. Let's talk about the voter recall, too. They got a whole thing in the L.A. Times about the about the candidates, you know, for governor. Look, number one, Schwarzenegger's in. Quit wasting your breath about this recall. He's in like Flynn. This cat has always been in, and there ain't no way he's not going to be elected. He's the next governor. Good for you, Arnold. Hope you can do a good job. Chances are in 6 months, somebody's going to find out that you've been, you know, you've been giving out favors to your pals in the movie business. You've been probably giving out, you know, you own a lot, an awful lot of land, man. Maybe you're getting some tax breaks. We'll find out. We'll find out. You know how it is. The people always get the government they deserve, and I think we pretty much deserve. Look, Arnold Schwarzenegger, I'm sure, is a very fine guy, loves his family, wants to do well by his state. But the guy's never been a politician before. It's a very alluring situation. A guy can get lost. You lose your innocence, as they say. I don't care how much money you got. You get up into either Sacramento or Washington, D.C., they're ready to chew you up and spit you out. No kidding. So let's talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger's governorship, and let's quit pretending there's going to be an election on October the 7th. Let's quit pretending it's in doubt, okay? And then let's also talk about some of these other clowns that are running for governor. It's heartbreaking. Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
So like I said, let's quit pretending that October 7th is going to be some big dramatic event. October 7th is going to be Arnold time, Arnold night. It's going to be nighttime with Arnold. Arnie's going to win. Not Mr. Schwarzenegger, not Governor Schwarzenegger, but as we pointed out last Friday, it's now become part of the lexicon, Arnold. So quit screwing around with this gee whiz, McClintock that, and Bustamante this. Forget it. Forget it. So today they got a thing in the LA Times, which is a collection of all the candidates. Voter guide. Here's what happens, I guess, and it's embarrassing and it's tragic, and you're probably all aware of this. Here's what happens in California when there's some kind of a big event, you know, like this, and this is the first of its kind. I can't point to anything that's similar. A recall election where everybody can run. So naturally, 85 million people get into it, and they're all clowns, filmmakers, writers, screenwriter, filmmaker, clown, writer, screenwriter, filmmaker, clown, writer, screenwriter, comedian, jackass, all-around idiot. And there is page after page after page of these dummkopfs cramming the pages of the LA Times running for governor. Some of them look very serious. Some of them look like utter a-holes. Some of them look like they ought to be on their first set of blocks. Just, my name is Bobby, you know, and then they'll move on from there to the clay. Some of them look like they're drug addicts. Some of them, here's one. I'll just give you my impression of each one's kisser. I mean, we got millions of people. And I'll tell you something else. If you love your state, if you really loved California, you wouldn't be running for governor like some dumbass. You'd get out of the race, save the taxpayers of this state millions of dollars, and try to fund a recall election with every dopey, jokey comic, every guy who's, you know, is a sculptor. There's one guy who's a sculptor, and he's a Native American. Good for you. I mean, that's cool, but, you know, running on the basis of being a Native American, man, that ain't no platform. You see what I'm saying? What, so you're Native American, meaning what? So I'm going to, the moccasins are free? What? And they're all nonpartisan, and they're Green Party, and they're Brown Party. And some are Democrats, some are Republican. Here's one here, Angeline. Ageless. She doesn't even have a picture of herself. I think it's a photograph of the billboard. That's how frightening she probably looks right now. Angeline, baby, I'm sorry, but you let yourself in for it. You're the one sticking those billboards up there. You probably look so scary that any photograph of you in a newspaper would be considered some violation of community standards. Party nonpartisan. Occupation, billboard model, entertainer, and all-around pathetic person. Residence, Rancho Palos Verdes in Bel Air. Family, single. Education, declined to state. Real sex, male. Pretend sex, female. Career highlights, known for billboard campaign, featured in more than 43 films and more than 1,000 magazines and television shows. Quote, we've had gray, we've had brown, now it's time for some blonde and pink. Yes, I'm Angeline, and I promise to blood test myself thoroughly before assuming the office of whatever the hell it is I'm running for. Thank you. Here's another one here. This guy is Gallagher. You know, his real name is Leo Gallagher. He's a comic. Or so he says. He lives in Agoura. He's divorced with two kids. He's got a BA in English at the University of South Florida. His career highlights, simply known as Gallagher. He's toured the United States. Whatever the hell. See, in other words, it becomes like something to promote your career. This is costing us money. Don't you people understand? Don't any of you idiots understand? Here's a guy, Gregory J. Pollack. He's a Republican. He's got a face on him like he's sitting on a turd. Like he's got a, like it's just been, he's been waiting to push one out since breakfast. And it's 5 o'clock and he's like, hurry up! Here's Ronald Jason Palmieri. He looks like some oily maitre d'. Here's a guy by the name of Leonard Padilla. Oh, I get it. He's the cowboy hat wearing type with the mustache in front of the books. I guess he's like another Spence kind of a guy. What, real common sense? Is that what we... No thanks, pal. No more cowboys for governor. Here's a guy here, Robert C. Newman. And he's a lilac farmer and a retired psychologist. What's he going to do? A lilac farmer? That's got to be a joke if ever I heard one. He's a lilac farmer? And you got to see this guy's face. It looks like he's just, I use hand cream. How about you? Here's Paul Nave. He's an investor, and he looks like a moron. Here's Doreen Musilli. She looks like she ain't too bright. This is great. Scott A. Mednick. He's running for governor. He's 47. He's a Democrat. He's a business executive. He's got the shades on with the T-shirt. He's got on the hair that, you know, he thinks it's still 1979, in other words. He's standing out in his backyard, probably on his tennis court. If this guy spent one day in the governor's office, I'd be shocked. He'd probably be out there, for all we know, he'd be elected governor and then back down to San Ysidro Ranch for another bottle of bubbly. Here's Mike McNeely, and he's such an idiot that he doesn't give any recommendation for anything. He just filed. So, in other words, he has no platform. Like, who cares, man? Here's Bruce Margolin. What are you, Olive? What is this guy looks like, the captain, the skipper on the freaking Gilligan's Island boat. What was the name of that thing? The SS Minnow. This guy looks like the skipper with the big beard. Here's Paul Mariano. Yeah, he looks like, you know, if I see this guy walking up to me, I go, check, please. Here's Gino Martorana. He's a restaurant owner. Well, of course. Business is my thing. Yeah, I'll bet it is. That thing of yours? Here's Mike McCarthy. He's a used car dealer wearing a baseball cap. He just looks like every other oily bastard. Here's Calvin Y. Louie. Forgive me, but there's something about this guy that looks like Lex Luthor. Here's some dumbass named Todd Richard the Bum Hunter Lewis. He's a film producer, performer, and businessman. So I guess he goes around and films bum fights, and it's all just a big joke, see? So the next time you see Todd Richard the Bum Hunter Lewis, ask him, hey, Todd, I know you don't care, but just for the record, are you so stupid that you got to waste my freaking money? You're running for governor, you idiot? By the way, your bum fights are boring. Here's Dick Lane. Dick is just some old man who's tired of sitting around, and his wife said, well, why don't you go out and run for governor or some GD thing like that? And he's like, God darn it, I guess. You know, and here's Jerry Kuntzman, who looks like a ring announcer at a prize fight, this guy with the tuxedo. Here's Eric Corriver. He's, I don't know, he looks like he'd rather be out hunting. Stephen Knapp. Here's Kelly Kimball with the sunglasses on. Here's a guy, David Kessinger, who looks like he's sitting like it's 3 a.m. in a diner and he's had way too much speed and coffee. Nice picture there, David. Here's Arianna Huffington. Boy, if anybody buried their chances, she did the other night. And I just want to say this. You understand that Schwarzenegger didn't answer any questions the other night. He just let everybody else sort of bury themselves. That guy McClintock was the closest to anybody having anything articulate to say. The problem with McClintock is he's got no personality. And as we all know, you can't get elected for anything. Dog catcher, you can't get elected to be a hall monitor at your kid's kindergarten unless you got personality. This is America. This is the new America that you got to have personality. And that McClintock's got all the personality of a stop sign. So Arnold just sat back, kicked back, and looked and watched everybody blow themselves to bits. Bustamante looked like a lame brain. Huffington, forget about it. Forget it. Were you honestly serious? You know, some people, there's an old saying, some people got more money than brains. That's Ariana. So, he don't have to do anything, man. He's not going to debate Davis. And everybody, including the Republicans who support Schwarzenegger, know that Davis would rip Schwarzenegger apart in a debate, tear him to pieces, which is one of the reasons, not the only reason, not the only reason, but it's one of the reasons why they're not going to have this debate. The other reason is he doesn't have to debate him. He doesn't need to debate him. He's leading in the polls. He's going to kick his ass. That's the end of that. Why? You don't want to do anything that's going to give you the opportunity to fail or to have something blow up in your face. So these are all the people that are running for governor. And you say to me, well, gee, Phil, you know, it's really mean of you because these are people who care about their state. No, they don't. No, they don't. These are people who know they don't have a snowball's chance in hell to get elected. The fact of the matter is they're cluttering up this ballot so that it can cost the taxpayers of California more millions of dollars. Half of them, look at this, Lorraine Abner Zerd Fontaines. She's a filmmaker, don't you know? She's got the big wig on. She's got the fright hair. She's a motocross journalist, directed Independence Day, a short film shown at the Sundance Film Festival in 1994. Yeah, so what? So I stepped in a pile of dog crap in Park City 3 weeks ago. So that's great. My platform is basically common sense for California. It's time we got together and stopped bickering. Well, now ain't that something, baby? And oh, by the way, I'll have another film at the Sundance Film Festival this year called, you know, I Put Both Feet in It by Lorraine Fontaines, otherwise known as Abner. What is her story? Now here's Larry Flynt. I like him. That's the only guy that I would have voted for. Here's a guy that this is a guy that took a case all the way to the Supreme Court. People forget. He took a case all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States. He's had his battles with the entrenched politicians of this country over the years. Larry Flynt may not be as dopey a choice as you think. He is a porn jockey. I mean, the guy's got that Japanese wife. Did you see him over at KFI? He came over to the radio station on Wayne Resnick's show, and she's like, what time we get out of here? This is boring.
I just want to talk to this ass on the air.
You want another drink? You know, yeah. And the guy's wheelchair is gold-plated. Gold-plated wheelchair. And he was plugging that new Hustler Casino down there in Commerce, which they said that they wanted me to do a remote broadcast from. And when I said, yeah, okay, that's the last I heard about that. So, Larry, we're still waiting for the big invite down there to get the, you know, a couple of G's worth of chips, kind of promote the opening of the joint. And here's Gary Coleman, little Gary. Little Gary Coleman, who's crapped on every time he raises his head. He's supposed to be a real retard, and everybody likes to make fun of him. I happen to like Gary Coleman. I think he's a good little guy, and he's funnier than hell. And I think the quote that I'll always remember is he said, anybody not on all fours is qualified to be governor of the state. Anybody who's not walking, anyone that's walking upright is qualified to be governor, is the way he put it. So I like you a lot, Gary.
What you talking about, Phil?
Don't get into that, man. Don't go back into your sitcom black guy, okay?
Whoo!
Don't do it. I'm loving you, man, but don't be doing that spin, wow, kind of thing. Don't give me that J.J. Walker stuff. Just be a guy. Just be a guy.
Looky here, man.
Gee, you gonna start it with that again, huh? I'm voting for you for governor, okay? I ain't voting for you for butler. I ain't voting for you for cute kid of the week. Here is Cheryl. Oh, and then, of course, we got the porn star. She's running. She sounds like a complete and utter idiot. One of the reasons why dialogue in porn movies, yet again, is not important. Her name's Mary Carey Cook. She's an adult film actress, if you haven't heard. Right now, she's taking college classes through Florida Atlantic University, majoring in theater, because she wants to be an actress someday, I'm sure. She'll want to be in a major motion picture production. She has appeared on Playboy's Totally Busted and pornographic video series, Mary Carey Rules. I started out as thinking this would be funny. Why don't I run? But then I discovered I really wanted to do it. I want to show that you can do porn, and it doesn't mean that you're stupid. It's good to show women that they can do these things, that running for governor isn't just for high-class older men. No, it's for dumb young women. I guess that's what you're trying to tell me, right? Look, if it wasn't for high-class older men, honey, you wouldn't have any money. You'd be out of a gig. All right, there you go. That's just a select few of the brain surgeons running for governor. I tell you what, I'll vote for Mary Carey if she sticks some webcams up in that governor's mansion. I'm joking. 1-800-449-8686.
What you talking about, Phil?
Come here. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
You know, that guy who said, you know, Phil, you really ought to wait till Kobe Bryant's case is resolved. Quit bad-mouthing him. Hey, I understand what you're saying, and I don't think I've ever said the guy's guilty, but what I have said is something that nobody else wants to say, right? Nobody else wants to say it, which is that there may have been a rape. A woman may have been raped. Now, I realize that nobody gives a crap. I understand that, especially when it comes to Kobe and the Lakers. Yeah, who could care? You know, who cares whether a woman might have been raped? Oh, that's not fair. You know we care about that. Would you just being unfair to Mr. Bryant? You're assuming that he did it. No, I'm not. I'm just saying that what I'm doing is I'm laying the worst case scenario out. See, everybody sits there hoping against hope that Kobster is innocent. I don't care. That's the difference between me and just about everybody else on the radio that does a show that is listened to primarily by men. All the other guys, all the other sports talk hosts, all those gutless wonders out there, all your sports writers, are all going home at night and lighting a candle to the Virgin Mary that old Kobe, please let him be innocent so they can win the ball game and Skipper can have the operation, God. Oh, please. God, let Kobe be innocent that he didn't knock up that white girl, and then he can play for the Lakers and we'll get another championship, and Mom and I will set the crapper up right in the road, and maybe Paul will come out of his coma, and then we'll have the barn dance. Get out of here. What are you guys, children? I'm the guy that flips it onto the other side. I'm the guy that says, hey, Kobe, you better pray you're innocent. If you ain't innocent, you better hope somebody believes you, especially that jury. And if you're guilty, I don't care if you go to jail for the rest of your life. What do I care? I could care less. That's all I'm saying. Boy, that's a pretty cynical point of view, Phil. Why? If a guy rapes my sister or my mother, I'd feel the same way. If that girl was my wife, they better get his ass in jail. What do I care about the guy? That's the only difference between me and the rest of them. All the other guys are out there with the, I hope he's innocent. All right, yeah, I don't know whether I hope he's innocent. I hope justice is served. That's what I hope. I hope justice is served. One other thing, and I really wanted to take some time with this, and maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow. You guys in the recording industry, no one cares. I don't know how to break the news to you. No one cares. Don Henley doing those, you know, those commercials for artists are being ripped off. You know what, Don? Go away. Just get out of here. Nobody gives a crap about you guys getting ripped off, because the fact of the matter is this. The rest of the world's got bigger problems, Ace. You guys have an overpriced product. You got to bring the price of that thing down, preferably well below $10, like around $7.99. You think I'm kidding? I ain't kidding, because otherwise you got big problems. And all the Don Henley public service announcements, you know what? If you want to get some people on there that have some credibility, put Linkin Park on there, okay? And even them I ain't going to believe. Your product is overpriced. The world and the world of communication has caught up to you and surpassed you. And your problems in the recording business, I mean, we couldn't give two craps, pal. So take your money and take your... And oh, yeah, by the way, really good for your image, that suing 12-year-old girls. See, you guys, you wouldn't know a good idea, man, if it came up and walloped you right in a kisser. Anyway, we'll talk about it. PHS@PhilHenryShow.com is our email address. Thanks for the emails, guys. I didn't get to all of them today. I will tomorrow. Promise. PHS@PhilHenryShow.com.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.